motivated now, Richard. That's right. So when the whole world has gotten fooled on what's in today, they can't motivate them anymore. So they have to wait until the end, until they create new interests to motivate people, right?
Right.
All right. So now that they made everybody award of the Middle Institute. And then the other one, the school district person. Can deal with everything else but the white man. But America. Can deal with everything else. One of us stand up and express an idea right away, that person challenges.
That's right.
Well, Kant said, Plato said, and just hang up.
That's right.
The presentation of that program.
Yes, sir.
But let anyone bring anything for the white man. And right away, buddy. Genuine. The man ought to include that in the curriculum.
Excuse me.
The current concern is called number one in line, because our mind has been intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind has been crushed.
That's right.
Our mind has been made to be small and to
hear. That's right.
To express it.
That's right.
Lord, I express this on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Some of us have a great idea. Be just the answer. Be the solution. Be the medicine for the ill. But we are afraid. We so. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have faith, and I don't have faith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Aristotle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any of the Western authorities.
That's right.
To support this idea. Well, if I say this, then I'm laughing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get out of that. Getting back to the physical properties. In Chicago, I thought, I said, and I knew as a child, I didn't have any problem living in the properties of the small town or living on the properties of the small town. I didn't have any problem. You would never find me or any child with my mind writing the or defacing the property or doing anything to diminish the beauty and value of our mind. You wouldn't find me or anybody with my mind. Girls, boys, alike. Why? Because all over again we were told that this is yours. See, the problem that we've inherited, I call it the plantation ghost that's still in us.
That's right.
It ain't no ghost, it's a spirit. It's a real spirit. You know, the problem in the past was that this thing was in us, and, you know, it'd be the neighbor's property, not the white man. The neighbor's property. But the same kind of heat come up in us when we see the neighbor get a new house, or the neighbor get a new car. That I imagine that came up at us when the white man said, go out, shine up my muse, go out, shine up my buggy. They go light my muse down, shine up my buggy. Hey, boy, go out there, wipe my muse down, wipe my horse down, shine up my buggy, you know? And now I imagine that we, yes, yes, and I imagine heat was just coming on. Yes, 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 sir, master, yes, sir. Because he said we weren't supposed to have those things. You see? And was making us take care of his. He cares with us. Okay, so the neighbor moves next door now. It's not a white person, it's us. And they got the attitude. If a white man had moved next door, it would be better. White man moved next door, it would be better. After you think it. Because that means that the white man is accepting you.
Mm-hmm.
If he can stay next door.
Mm-hmm.
And they will tell you in psychology that one of the heaviest strains on the mind of an individual is the one produced by isolation, rejection,
That's right.
So they know the psychology, and they know that your nature want to get rid of that strength. So you know you don't see a way to improve yourself to make yourself to convince him that you are acceptable, or a way to get in by force. So anything that represents the end to this problem is a great relief. Mm-hmm. So you're so happy. White man, you make sure. Yes, they make sure they know you. They know you're going to stay with me. This is a fine neighborhood, and all you have to do is keep up your property, and you'll have it. Mm-hmm. Yes, white man lives next door. Black one lives, move next door, and you want to kill it.
That's right.
You want to kill it. Especially if he got something nice. And don't let him buy nothing new. Oh, the beat comes up. Yeah. See? Why? Why? Because you were shut out of those things, right? You were shut out of those things. Now, two things are working if the black one moves next door. If the black one moves next door, he doesn't hurt up your situation. You need to be accepted, not by him, by the white man. So if he moves next door, he doesn't help your situation. If the white man moves next door, then it helps your situation, so that means that you are accepted by white folks. You see? Now, that's one thing that's operating, but there's something else operating. You were shut out, and you have been conditioned by white man and his psychology to compete with each other for freedom, for escape, for achievement, etc. So you have been conditioned to compete with each other. So it's just a natural impulse in us to fight the one that seems to be making. See? But deep down within you, the white man has another you in there. And that other you in there is saying, he has no right to have that. I don't have it. Mm-hmm. Do you know the white man used to put fighters, Palladian fighters, against each other? Just for sport? And the one that put on the good battle, he would favor that one, give him an advantage over the one that lost. So right in that, the instinct to beat each other up for a better image in the white man's world was created. Yes, I mean, this is history. This is history. This can be documented. This is documented. I just don't have the material. This is already documented. That the white man on the plantation and also in the North used to pit the black man against the black man. For sport. Now, he did this on a community scale, too. But he was, for sport, he would actually pit two people against each other, black, same race. Pit them against each other for sport. And they would laugh and then cheer the one winning and everything. And when the winner won, they would favor him, give him more recognition than the loser. So, on the community level, they were doing the same thing. They would create sensitivities in the black community to set the black community against itself. And when their side won, they come in and reward their side. Mm. And punish the side that they didn't approve. Mm. They still do that. They're still doing that. You see? All right. So with this happening above our heads over generations, now we have a tendency in ourselves to just automatically attack another medallion. Yes. And when it comes to people who are right, it's automatic for wrong people to want to get them out of their faith, get them out of their faith. For the person that represents right, they like to tell him, leave, go away. If he won't leave or go away, he won't kill him.
That's right.
Do anything to get him out of their conscience.
That's right.
Because he's a discomfort in their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
He represents what they should be growing for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And that natural, the nature tells them that they should be growing towards that. Mm-hmm. But their worldly mind tells them that that's too uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
too
difficult for me to grow apart.
That's right.
So, okay, now the worldly mind has to destroy the presence of that thing so that it can relax.
Mm-hmm.
But the worldly mind says, reject it.
That's right.
Condemn it. Rationalize. Break foot of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Rationalize. No, rationalize means reason. Reason falsely.
Mm-hmm.
Rationalize can mean reason correctly.
True.
But rationalize also means, in fact, rationalization is a negative word more than a positive. It means reason falsely. So it says rationalize him into a position where you can condemn him and do evil to him.
Mm.
So you would take a good man, a good idea, a good person, and you will rationalize that until you can put it in a position where you can do evil to it, where you can condemn it, where you can say, it ain't worth it, it's wrong, he's troublemaker, he's trying to destroy the
whole society.
Go ahead and teach.
Boom. That's right.
Right?
A lot like Bob.
Okay, so we have to understand all these tendencies in us in order to survive and make progress for our own lot. Now, what's wrong with people trying to make progress for their own lot?
Mm.
You ought to take note of what the Chinese and what the Asians are doing. The Asians are coming into this country. They are establishing themselves. By that I mean they are bringing their culture with them. They're living in their American home the same way they lived in Asia. They eat the same way, they pray the same way, they're living the same life they lived in Asia. But now they're in America and they are American. And what we have to understand as educators, brothers and sisters, that America welcomes that. In fact, America is that. America means an opportunity for you to bring your life from one part of the world to this part and keep your same life and grow in a new world. America represents a new opportunity, a new horizon, the new horizon, the new destiny for man. Is that right? Okay. Now, we think differently over here. We think that people will call us prejudiced if we put emphasis on retaining our own African-American identity. Oh, they'll think we're prejudiced. Then we don't want to put no importance or no emphasis on ethnic pride or on our Belalian ethnicity. That'll set us apart from the rest of America.
That's right.
What has set you apart from the rest of Americans is the fact that you are not an American. And you are not an American because you don't represent anything you need. You don't have an identity. Isn't it a fact?
That's right.
You don't have an identity. The other people have an identity. The other people have human personality. A human personality that has been born or formed in ethnic personality. An ethnic personality that has been formed or born out of an ideology.
That's right.
A way of conceiving the world of reality. And we don't have that.
Right.
We just buy what the white man filled into our head over the wire or through the airwaves.
That's right.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, why am I doing this for? I know you. Let us get down to the business of this book. This is the business.
That's right. It is.
I know many of us are misguided. Because of our sensitivity.
True.
That's right.
We're good people.
Yes, sir.
But our sensitivities have us misled. See? All right. So I think it's worthwhile for me to take the time and dwell on this thing in order to get just one more, two more, 50 more to make the turn.
That's right. A lot of work, Bob. That's right.
Because really, the future of our children depends on our ability.
Step up, out of America's idea.
And in this interest, dear brothers and sisters, I insist that we don't let any Arab, Pakistani, Egyptian, I don't care what he is, don't let nobody come over here and be the idol. Nobody should come from out of this community and be the personality.
That's right.
Be the reference. Oh, I Mr. Shoot Power. He's our reference. No, no. You keep him, ma'am. W.T. Muhammad is a reference. And if I fall dead right now, you look for one that came up like I did. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, where's one that don't follow Shakes and don't follow anybody else but this idea?
That's right.
Come on, brother. You have to take him out rather than Muhammad's place. That's a need that we have inherited from the souls of our ancestors.
That's right.
That's right. This country took away from us the dignity of the people.
That's right.
And we can't have that dignity if we're going to have other people over us.
That's right.
Now, many of us be so sensitive, and we'll say, that's not democratic. If any other person qualifies, we should accept that person. Yes, if they qualify, I agree with you. If they qualify.
Allahu Akbar.
But number one in the qualification is that you be part of this natural growth in America.
Allahu Akbar.
If you're not, we can't identify with you. No, indeed. Because we are people growing into what we are. We're not yet that. We're growing into that. And we don't want nobody that has grown into Italian form, or into Greek form, or Turkish form, or Egyptian form. It will be a terrible conflict. Once we have grown into our own form as a people, then, Mr. Yes, you have the qualifications. Step right up. Be our leader. Because we're going to hold you accountable, you bastard. You better not take it.
Yes, sir.
But now, we are too far from the destiny that we ourselves have to grow into that is us.
Yes, sir.
To allow some foreign element to come and stand over us, because we'll be influenced.
That's right.
We're like fresh clay.
That's right.
We'll be too easily influenced. Wait until after we have established ourselves in the community and have recognition in Egypt and Africa and all over the world, in Asia and all over the world, recognition for having established our own personality as a people.
That's right.
When we have gained that, then we will be like any other community. But until then, we are a peculiar people.
That's right.
Under the eyes of the Lord. So these are our concerns. Dear beloved people, getting more at home now, are coming closer to the real problems that you're confronted with as educators in the community. That is curriculum and teaching, teachers' qualifications. I'll just have a few words to say. And what I'm saying now should be supported by what I've said before, what I've said so far. One of the main concerns I have for subject matter and teaching method, is that emphasis be put more on what is required, what is needed, pardon me, than on just what is available. Now, you know, there are so many subjects out there and so much knowledge out there. There are oceans of knowledge out there available. You know. And if we don't have our own specific needs, then forming curriculum and setting guidelines for courses, selecting subjects and etc. becomes a problem too big for us to tackle. But if we first establish what are our real needs. Now, I said in Oakland that one of the major problems we have is poor qualification for the job market. We are not qualified for the job market. And we know the job market now is constantly changing. The thing that was the necessity yesterday may not be a necessity today. See? New demands are coming in, and it's changing the qualifications or the needs in the job market. We have to study that, be in touch with that trend. And I think if we concentrate on what is practical, you know what benefited me most in mathematics, arithmetic? The practical mathematics, the practical arithmetic. All this, I would say, academic and high language and fancy talk, I found that when I went out there to try to feed children and myself, it didn't have much importance in
it. That's true.
The man said, but can you?
Do. Can you do?
And he said, can you? See, I was used to telling what the principle is, what the theory is, and I was never asked to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever said, can you, before, you know? They just asked me, could I recite, you know? But can you recite your 12-time table? Yeah. Now, this man was asking me, could I apply this in a given situation? that meant something to the human life and what it has to do, what it has to be. So when he said that, you know, I had to start saying. So I said, look, I said, just a minute. I said, what you do is just keep my application, and I'm going back and get me some books, and I'll be back. I'll take the test again. And I went, and I got me some books on sharp mathematics.
Yes, sir.
I got me some books on sharp arithmetic, sharp mathematics, you know. And after I said, you know, it's different. The other mathematics said 7 times 7 is 49. The sharp mathematics said 7 pounds times 7 pounds is 49 pounds. It was different, you know. You know. One book says, you know, 6 times 6 is 36 square. 6 square, you see? And the sharp mathematics says we need 36 square feet of linoleum to cover this area. So, it was different, you see? So I think we shouldn't just give. Don't even give the children tables like that. Just that. Don't give just 1 times 1 is 1. Just 3 times 3 is 6. No, tell him $3 times $3 is $9. What I'm saying is the psychology should be to eliminate the abstract
from the world of reality.
As much as possible.
That's right. That's right.
As much as possible. Let them work with figures that have connection with things that they have to use, things that they have in their own life. You see? Don't waste their time with just reciting numbers. Don't introduce even pictures into the room that has no connection with this real practical life. Don't just bring in something pretty at all. Bring in a dog, tell them, if you want to be an animal doctor, here's a dog. This is a dog. He's such and such and such. He catches this disease. He catches that disease. Look at his teeth. Look at his teeth. Okay, he ain't learning nothing about a dog. Here's a dog. Pretty little dog. You don't have to do that. When you go outside, you're going to see it.
That's right.
You know, So this is criticizing the white man's mentality. And that's what you have to do if you want to rise.
That's right.
You
criticize his mentality.
Okay, so now, this is a dog. Let's get the child and call that thing a dog. For 3 years, he might get got one at home, you know? And you put a dog. Dog, you know what dog? That's not enough. But if you're teaching them how to talk, you don't have to do nothing but just put that up there. Put the picture of the cat with D&T. Then say, what does that word say? Then look at that picture, tell me what that word says. said he said that. Now that then the child say, oh, he ain't stupid.
That's right. That's right.
But if I say, see the doggy, get the doggy, he knows the dog. Little child 4 or 5 years old. Laughing inside.
That's right.
You don't think I'm going to know how to recognize the dog. So what I want to emphasize is common sense.
That's right. That's right.
There's a great lawyer. This lawyer was on television, This lawyer had won another case. He was such a great lawyer. I can't call his name. I'm sorry I don't have his name. But often I think back on this, and I can't recall that attorney's name. He's one of the leading. I think he's like second in the whole world. Maybe first, but I know he wasn't first, he was second in the whole world. And they were asking him, what did he think was making him so much more successful in court than other times? He said, most of my adversaries, he said, they stick to the book. They follow the letter. He said, I also use common sense.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's the man up there at the top, or second to the top in the whole world. Mm-hmm. And he was stressing the value of common sense.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You want to see the biggest fool in the world?
Yes.
The one with a whole lot of PhDs, et cetera, and et cetera. No common sense.
That's right. That's right. The
biggest fool on earth.
That's right.
That's right.
Some of you say, oh, he couldn't get those degrees if he didn't have common sense. That's what you say.
That's right. I'm telling you.
This establishment don't want you to have common sense.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. They make an effort in the college to deprive you of the use of common sense.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
They say you have one or the other.
That's
the
right.
Common sense is your left leg, and academia is your right. Which one you are? So can I have both of them? Say, no, ain't no two-legged people walking in the West.
Don't want you to have no balance, huh?
You make your choice. Either common sense or academia. Uh-huh. I mean, then, brothers and sisters, all the courses should emphasize the practical use of knowledge. Whether it's social sciences or whatever, it should relate to the job of living day by day. They used to teach music and tie music in with natural needs in the life of human beings. You know. But whatever you teach, it should all be tied. This is the problem. This is the requirement in the religion. It's to establish human basis, practical basis for everything. Yes, and lastly now, Islamic studies. Some of us, I think, are good Muslims, but because we are not qualified in Islamic studies, not qualified in Arabic, not qualified in Islamic history, etc., we're afraid of it. We don't want anybody else to become qualified. This is another plantation of spirit. We're afraid, you see. We have to get away from that. In fact, the community can't tolerate that. Not if it's going to accept my leadership.
That's right.
because I'm a man that when it comes to certain things, I don't compromise at all.
I hear you.
And believe me, if I can't win, I'll leave. I'll go somewhere else. Mm. And I mean that. Mm. So there are certain things that we just can't sacrifice. We can't compromise on. And I think this community now is ready for real Islamic studies program.
That's right. That's right.
We
want
to learn Arabic. We want to learn the history of Prophet Muhammad and his companions. We want to study Quran. We want to learn it. We want this to be an Islamic community.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
All right. Okay. So if you have the sensitivity that I'm referring to now, where you fear that a person with that knowledge is going to be a threat to your image, you know, then you have to realize that that's a sensitivity from the slavish life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another plantation spirit that's alien to your real life and nature. And nobody likes aliens. They don't mind a foreigner, but if he's an alien.
That's right.
So, you know, foreign just means different.
That's right.
But alien means that he likes to be alienated.
That's
or he
right.
likes to alienate.
That's right.
See, I mean, that's something that nobody likes. You
that's
see?
Right.
So let us be strong. That's all.
That's right.
You just have to be strong.
That's right.
You have to be strong enough to.
Mm.
Walk away from a piece of yourself.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Say, that's me. But this dignified object that I'm having.
He's greater. That's right. Allahu Akbar.
And just drop it and leave it behind.
That's
right. So we're all working on Islamic curriculum and interested in Islamic. Please support what we want. And do your best to make Islamic education available to all members of this community. So thank you very much. Now I'll let Dr. Bob and the rest of you talk on the rest of our concerns. Like money, where we going to get it from. And and how big the job is and how much money it's going to call for and all those kinds of things. See? And like getting better qualified teachers in the classroom.
That's right.
From our own community.
Right.
We don't want to get them from outside. If we are smart as we say we are, we can take a sincere person in this community
and
make them better qualified.
That's right.
Allahu
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I like that one. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Brothers and sisters, we most certainly have had the feast.
That's right, that was the meal.
On the concerns of Imam Waridi Muhammad from Imam Waridi Muhammad. So we should think over what he has said, ponder over what he has said, and seek with every ounce of substance that we have to put into practice to make live in ourselves first what he has said to us this afternoon. Now we have the point when it's supposed to be dinner time. I pray a lot that the cooks will have it together, because we have about an hour to eat. And so those who are concerned with the dining area, you can begin to get this stuff together. And Brother Nam, if someone has any questions that you entertain, we'll take maybe 5 minutes or so of questions. If you have any questions, you can direct them at this time to Imam Waridi Muhammad.
Thank you.
anything that is specifically representative of your needs is something that you ought to take very seriously. And the Muslim need is halal food. Halal food, that's the Muslim need. Now, you know, if I was talking to the general audience of Muslim, or general Muslim public, I wouldn't say what I'm going to say now. But we represent leaders, all of us here are leaders. Very few of us in my leader, all of us are leaders. You're teaching, you're heading departments, you're heading messages, you're leaders. All right. So, Allah, whatever He has prescribed for us, is beneficial to us in every way. Now, that's a dietary requirement, right? But in it is economic advantages. If we don't promote that, we'd be losing something economic. It's an economic avenue for us. A great business avenue for us. And I'm so happy to see brothers around the country and in Kansas City. I addressed the gathering of the members of the community there just here recently by telephone. I'm happy to see you all encouraging halal products because this is going to make us more active economically. So I support it wholeheartedly, all the vessels in my body. And I say that for your benefit, not as a criticism. I know most of the Muslims in our community, they cannot affect me simply because you don't have the knowledge. You don't have that level of knowledge. Many of you appreciate at least the new concept. You appreciate the new concept. You can't see where I'm coming from. You can't see the rational basis or the evidence from other sources that's supporting what I'm saying because you don't have the information. But you appreciate the new idea, the fresh concept, the excitement, and the new way of looking at things. So you appreciate all that. And believe me, I'm not criticizing you. I think you represent the intelligent people of America. It's those that look at it and say, oh, that's a waste of time. They are the fools. Mm-hmm, but right. You say, oh, that's the interest is fresh, interesting, it's fresh. You're intelligent.
That's right.
Now, just because you haven't had training in a particular course or a particular field or background doesn't mean that you're ignorant. But it still is a fact that most of you don't have knowledge of mythology. So, this is going to really help the whole community. When we establish that institute, when we hear it, and we get people coming, participating, coming in, qualified people, representing their different persuasions, coming in there, and being on the staff, and we all are addressing the students, we all are giving our points of view, and when the history goes, when the news go out for what's happening in that institute, and your man is heading it, that's going to give greater image and greater respect to this particular community, you see. And inshallah, it'll be soon. I hope it won't be long coming. Yes, Sister Secretary from Sister Boston, I can't recall your name. Sister Selma. And believe me, ain't no situation that God has put us in that He hasn't given us a solution to get out of. We just have to turn to trust our own intelligence and be pioneers. Yes, sister. Yes, sister with the text. Yes.
I like my son.
Well, I'm going to leave questions like that for those who will be carrying on the rest of the program. I think questions like that should be addressed to those who will be responsible for the program. Some of them will be able to answer that question because they know my position, my thoughts regarding that. Okay. Any other? Yes. Yes. Now, are you right now taking courses for, in preparation for proceeding the course, or getting a degree or something? You're not a student. You're not a student at this point. Or if you were, I was going to congratulate you. At no point in my talk did I say we shouldn't go to college.
True.
I didn't say we shouldn't go to college. I didn't say we shouldn't go to university. I said that we ought to have our own mind.
Right.
And our own vision. Yes. Another, because actually our Prodigy Wilson has taught me everything I know, and that's the only book in the world, I think. The best approach to the study of Arabic language? Understand the word. Well, you have to get that from there. Thoughts, methods are good, but still you have to have a teacher, even to begin to try to learn the language on your own. So it's necessary to have a teacher. It's necessary to find a good instructor who has ability with the English language and Arabic, both to establish institutions that have courses and take it. We have brothers in the community who have gone to some of these colleges, and they have made a lot of progress. We have brothers in Oakland. I've just been there for about 7 months now. We have two brothers in Oakland who teach us in Arabic. Courses at night. Stand up with me. We all work together. We all are teaching courses in Arabic. And they are doing a very good job. They went to a regular college that offers courses in Arabic. They made some money, they learned. They're not fluent in Arabic, but they have faith. They have the foundation. And that's what you need, a foundation. My foundation came from Professor Jamil Diaz. When I was in the Sayyid Muhammad School, called University of Islam at that time. Myself, my youngest brother, Akbar, Daniel Kareem, some of you know him, in Chicago. Isaiah, the brother named Isaiah, who's not around, I don't have to be a new year. Rosalind, Zuhair, as she's called, Daniel's sister, and Leroy, his brother. And there were several others, about maybe 15 of us all there. And out of that class came maybe about four or five who were very excellent students. Who were able to get Akbar, he went to the Aftar. He was able to pass the examination, enter exam, and get it to Aftar. That's what we're going to learn there. So the instructor, you need a good instructor. We have a good instructor here. So we have a few, but we need more. So if you can't find a good instructor in the community, if you can ever afford it, it'd be good if you could go outside the community and go to one of these campuses where they offer this sort of therapy. You might say, well, how about going to Mecca, Medina, Pakistan, and Singapore? Well,
Later in the child's life, if they hear that, if we recall, I'm still upside down.
Would there be a reception in that child for that later? Mm-hmm. And if you turn the record on and say da da dee da dee da, that's the reception that'll be there later. Yeah. So we believe in starting early. And many of these kids, the children, just 3, 2, 3, 4 years old, they're ready to start learning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And you know he has craziness, so you ain't gonna say, stop!
you're going to say, sit down, George. Sit down, George. Sit down, Wallace. Sit down, Wallace. Take your seat, Wallace. And the other boy said, if I had done that, she'd have fucked me.
That's right.
Now, there are many other problems, other examples of the kinds of problems that these problem children bring into a normal classroom. And if we should make up our mind, I told them in Chicago, I tell them here, I'm telling them, we should make up our mind. Are we going to be a school for special children with special deficiencies, with real serious problems, or are we going to be a school for normal children? That's what we have to make up our mind. We can't be both. We have to make up our mind whether we are going to accommodate normal children or accommodate children that have real serious problems. And the charge should be, we're going to accommodate normal children. Because it's our normal children that don't have an equal chance in this country.
That's right.
And in the world.
That's right.
We don't have an equal chance in the world. So it's the normal children that we should concentrate on. We should concentrate our efforts on bright-minded children. We should be highly selective. That's right. And we should be, have the moral strength to tell a sister, I don't care if it's the he-man's wife. I don't care if it's my wife. That's what I meant when I said the he-man's wife. We should have the moral strength to say, sister, your children have problems. We are not set up for that. We recommend you taking your children to such and such special schools. That's what we have to do. That's what college often promises. That's the truth. That's what Mama Collins is doing. And look at the effect Mama Collins has. It's because she doesn't have that problem that you got. She ain't working with
the
same old sack of
taxes.
Yes, sister on the wall with the green. I know your name, but I...
Yeah. Well, like my son.
But in some places, we're doing much better.
The role of the Parent Teachers Association should be to support what is established for Sister Farah Muhammad School.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And to work close cooperation, sincere cooperation with the principal and teachers of Sister Farah Muhammad School. If the children see us divided, that finishes it.
That's true.
Yes, sir, Brother Matt.
I'll make my turn. From Cincinnati, Ohio. I have a question in reference to the administrative function of Sister Clara Muhammad Schools.
Yes.
I wanted to know what role are non-Muslim teachers to function in on our administrative level?
That's a hot. That's a hot. And it's a hot one because of the
Christian
spirit.
Right. It is.
Well, let me approach it this way. If we have a staff of persons who are not academically qualified for the job in the school, in the Paramount School, but there is an outside member who will work with us who has the qualification. Now, in the area of that person's expertise, we should become second in command.
Okay.
But in the area of our own expertise, we are first in command.
Oh, okay. I love that.
When it comes to our religion, decisions that Muslims have to make for their own school, for their own community, then we don't listen to those people. We tell them what we have, what has to be. You know, we say, now look, if the Mormons would invite you to come in and teach their school, teach in their school, do you think the Mormons would have you rewrite their religion?
That's right.
Say, well, by God, we niggas are just as bad as the Mormons.
Does that apply to...
Right. So they respect that.
Oh, okay. just yes, an addition.
Yes.
Pardon. Just an addition. Does that apply to the curriculum also?
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. They can only give their input from their own knowledge. Mm-hmm. We know what we want in the curriculum as bookends.
Okay.
And they better not inject no idea, or no philosophy, or no principle that they are a knowledge cheat.
Mm-hmm.
We say, hey, look at here, what are you saying there? No, take that out.
Yeah.
Say, but there's a recourse for this. It was not here, baby. You know, it's like going and get a suit made, you know. You go to the tailor and say, I want a suit. And the tailor brings you out supervised back. And you have to let that tailor know what your personality is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I'm sorry, mister, I made a mistake. You want something for service. Say, thank you, Bert. You have to order what you want and let the people know who have more knowledge in the business. Let them know first what you want and make them give you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Not what they have been told to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sister Medora.
Sister Judy Rashid, Winston Taylor.
Yes.
Buddy, ma'am. There are a lot of inquiries on how to establish a Sister Paramahama school. And my question is, in terms of some guidelines or a package on how to establish it, would you suggest that a regional or national board address this, or should it be locally among those that would be involved directly with the school?
All right. Okay. Well, you know, that means it's wrong, right?
Right.
Even questions like that.
Yeah.
That means it's wrong.
Yeah.
All right. I think the council ought to take your question, make a note of it, and then they ought to consult those persons in the community who can help prepare a statement that will give that information that you need. How to establish a Paramahama school.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, a lot of inquiries.
It is.
A lot of
it is. Is.
All right.
You get a lot of
okay, so inshallah, they'll get it. They'll get it together. Yes,
and
For students of scriptural terminology, they should put emphasis on definitions. Consult dictionaries, special dictionaries, etc. If they want to take up this, you don't have to do that. I don't do this by myself. I don't need the rest of this here. What I'm saying, you don't need to get people together and say, oh, let's work on the terminology. No. Believe me, one person doing this is enough. The others should simply just record what he said. I have a lot of emails. They go into different places, mm-hmm. and they come and they sound good, you know. But they're on the wrong source. I think in school the emphasis should be on grammar. Emphasis has to be on grammar. Because grammar is a tool for expression, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think grammar is a tool for expression. So the emphasis should be on grammar, proper grammar.
Well, like my child.
I want to know your viewpoint. on teaching the American history to the children.
All right, this will be our last question. I'm going to get near mothers. I've got to put something in my pocket to be near mothers. Yes. American history? Yes, we should have American history in our schools. Mm-hmm. But we should rewrite it.
That's right. That's right.
We should make it more truthful.
Yeah.
And make it more decent. More presentable. So that's the last question now. We want you to take more. Perhaps maybe before we leave, you'll be able to speak with you by your name. So no questions. Yes, it's coming down. Yes, it's coming. Doesn't mean that that, should, that that has to be in every school. Maybe schools will differ, you see. I think all battalions should be more interested, battalion students, parents, should be more interested in their children getting what we call a vocation rather than just an education. Of an education doesn't mean that you can go out there and make a living. And believe me, this has been discussed by some of the imams already. Believe me, we have typewriters, we have machines, and if somebody just take one of those machines, they can qualify to earn to pay their rent. You see? Okay, there are big companies that are all the time trying to keep up with the high standards in the market. And they are making obsolete equipment that's still more for most people. It would be more than important enough for our interest, you see. Some of those companies will give you, if you got a private school, they will give you those machines. So we got a facility in Oakland, and we hope to put a welder in there. Brother, two brothers can weld, the expert welders in Oakland. I'm an expert welder. Not that I'm going to be there, but I'm proud of my skill in welding. I can run a feed up a thread. If I can see it, I can weld it. All right. So we need to study this, and I think, again, the council should be one to come up with a proposal for utilizing our machines and whatever to better train our members of our community for the job market.
Allahu Akbar.
So that's going to conclude it. I had to say again. You don't ignore a member of the council. he said no more questions. No, I'm saying this for our benefit. He said no more questions. But that didn't, he ain't qualified to say no more questions for the council. Because he's no more than a councilman himself.
Okay, I see.
That's a council member that said that. So that doesn't apply to council members. Oh, he's establishing hierarchy. No, I'm not. Establishing respect.
That's right. Walaikum assalam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That was nice.
So this is an American problem now.
That's right.
A problem for the whole Western world, perhaps the whole world. So since we were the first victims of it, then it would be really beautiful if we would come up with an educational program for attending this problem in the students and getting rid of it, taking it out of the students. The way to get respect back is simply to get the direction or the idea of the philosophy from the Quran and Kingdom. Allah says that He has created everything in halves. Everything in halves. In halves. A student of the Quran, a scholar in this religion, if he was here, and we have one here, perhaps we have more than one. They will tell you that this idea in the Quran that he created everything in time does not just mean us, we have seen it. It means the nature, the constitution of matter itself. That in the very constitution of matter itself, everything works on the principle of duality. And what did he say? He said, every hair noble, honorable, and even deserving respect. That's what it means. That everything that he has created, operating in time, deserves respect. This wall deserves respect.
That's right.
By the Quranic teaching. The earth deserves respect. The agriculture life deserves respect. Whatever man fashions out of the natural world, it deserves respect. That is, if it is useful to humanity. If it is still serving the purpose God designed it. Is that right? So it deserves respect. So we should include this principle in the teaching of our children. We should tell them that Allah require you to respect creation. And if that child is a Muslim, it's natural. He naturally grows up respecting all creation. So he'll be a better student. He'll be a more aggressive student. He'll be motivated in the right way. He'll be attracted to the sciences better. Because when you have a high respect, a high idea of the material field, then it does more.